It is ringing. Freeman Fly.
Hello.
And there you are, my friend. How you doing, Mr. Fly?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Wow. Hey, you didn't write all them books behind you, did you?
I've read them.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I have a similar library. There are so many books in there, and I don't know if I read them all, I think my head would explode. So how do you keep your head from exploding?
I take on a lot of different extracurricular projects, honestly. Right now I'm producing a new TV show and joined a band. So, I take it all in, but I keep my life alive because it's very important when we're sitting here taking in all this heinous data that, we don't lose ourselves.
The heinous data would have a tendency to destroy our brain cells in mass.
Yeah, more than marijuana, I'll tell you that.
So let me ask you something. So when you have all this data coming in, all this input, all this information, how do you sort of level it? I'm assuming that you don't just say, "Oh, I'm now going to believe that way." I'm sure that takes time and research and a slow curve type of thing. But how do you sort of mediate the sheer amount of information to come in and keep your sanity?
It is difficult to take it all in. And honestly, I felt like 11 years ago when I started the Freeman Perspective, I outlined the idea of Illuminati corporate logos and made a foundation for that. Now I see that 100, if not 1,000 more people are now talking about that and sharing it. So I feel like once you set the foundation on something and you release it out to everyone and then you let all those other sleuths get deep into it and let them start bringing you the data so that you're not having to rip it apart all on your own, is the best way. You know, it's amazing that this science is so young that I'm the guy who created Illuminati corporate logos. You know what I mean? It's, it's something that we're really just coming into our own at this time.
What is the most bizarre Illuminati logo out there, or I guess maybe the most magical or the most powerful symbol? Is there a singular one, or are they all sort of on the same plane?
There are. You know, when you look at the dollar bill, honestly, okay. So when you realize that our money is a talisman, it is a magical tool. If you go back to the earliest forms of magic, back to ancient Egypt, I could pull out a doctorate book on it right here, and they would tell you that contracts and talismans were the original forms of magic, of practical magic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, contracts with the devil or demons or daemons and all of that sort of stuff, and then talismans to draw this power and utilize it. So our money is a talisman. And our world is based on corporate contracts. Mm-hmm. So our entire real world is based on magic. Mm. And then the secret societies or societies with secrets manifest those very things to everyone. Mm-hmm. So now our dollar bills, if you've seen, they've all changed, right?
Right.
And they are now the color of monopoly money.
Right.
So there you have the psychological effect of magic, because it's making it into play money for people's minds, because they want you to start scripting your mind towards having a chip. Mm-hmm. So they make the money look like Monopoly money. We're all Monopoly players from our youth. We see these pink, orange, green, and I swear, you lay them down side by side with Monopoly money, they're the exact same colors. You know, it's not chance. Mm-hmm. And so, but the dollar, all right, the dollar bill has never changed. This is their main pantacle. And this one, as a pentacle, is a sigil, is a symbol, which is a magical talisman, okay? Mm-hmm. So these are all basically words for the same thing. And that's why the dollar has never changed. So that eye in the pyramid, Novo Ordo Seclorum, with the work in progress, is the main symbol of this operation.
Mm-hmm. So is money then plays a central role in this magic operation, I would suppose. But what is the principle behind the use of magic?
Well, if you were to really look into magic, and books like these up here, Rosicrucians, Golden Dawn, even Aleister Crowley and the OTO, then the idea of magic is communication with your holy guardian angel. It is really meant to be a performance that transcends you into another dimension, another reality, an altered state. Mm-hmm. And in that state, you will find archetypal forces that you can actually communicate with. And this has always been the benefit of magic, or the purpose of magic is intercommunication with otherworldly beings. Some called them daemons in the past, or demons and things. And I mean, honestly, America would have never been discovered or colonized by the British if John Dee hadn't been communicating with the archetypal archangel forces, using his channeling, like Nostradamus, looking into a crystal ball or a onyx plate. Mm-hmm. And he was the one, John Deed, the original 007, was the Queen's counselor, and told her to come and colonize because of his communication with angels. Now, when you start to look deep into magic, you quickly learn, say, the ritual of the pentagram. Ooh, sounds frightening. Well, you read the words used in the pentagram ritual, and it's the Lord's Prayer.
Whoa.
So most magic is based on archangels, mm-hmm. you know, Uriel, Gabriel, all of them, and then also on biblical prayer, and it all comes together. Well, it's really crazy.
Freeman, when we had Bill Schneebelin on the program, he said that you could not even research the Nazi occult connections unless you were prayed up, or you know, you had salt handy, or you had prayers or exorcists or something. He said, if you begin to research into some of these dark, these dark arts, that you could be overcome by them. Now, obviously you have that array of books back there, and you just said that there must be information in there, and probably maybe even written incantations of something somebody used, maybe from a historical standpoint. Has anything come from those books?
Without a doubt. Okay, a book that I would never let anyone read is The Book of the Law. I refuse to share this one with anyone. This is the one that Aleister Crowley channeled in 1904 and outlined and basically set up the works for the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is the Order of the Eastern Templar. And in here, you know, it says Horus's claws will claw out the eyes of Jesus, cause pain, cause destruction, take drugs, do all of those things. And this is the holy book of the OTO. Mm-hmm. I won't let anyone read it. If you go get it on your own, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give it to you to read. Mm-hmm. You break out something like Kenneth Grant and the hidden god, and you learn that Pan is the real hidden god that they worship, and that it all goes back to. And you'll find all these same rituals of Pan going on at NASA, when Jack Parsons and Wernher von Braun were producing, you know, our rockets, they were also doing rituals to Pan as they launched each of those rockets. Mm-hmm. And in this one, you quickly learn, and this was the person who took over for Crowley. You quickly learn that their goal is communication with interdimensional beings through the abyss. So this is the left-hand path and the dark side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the goal being communication with interdimensional or extraterrestrial beings, says right so in here. And, you know, this is published 60s. Kenneth, you know, here's Crowley.
Whoa, and a scary dude anyway.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
so,
now.
So, yes, so you're 73 giving, that was published.
Yeah. All right, so you're giving us some warning on those books there. But you yourself, is it because you have learned the I guess there's dark arts, white arts, a protection mode? I mean, how are you protected yourself?
You know, the truth be known, that I did not go looking for any of this information, and I really feel like I have angelic forces in my life. Mm-hmm. And I have so many experiences of synchronicity that have guided me to knowledge and guided me on this path and put me before you now. I would have never done this on my own. But the funny thing is a lot of times these helpers are named Gabriel, Raphael. I can't tell you how many times I ran into Raphael in the same person, you know, like same different, crazy world guys out there. Like when you start to live like I did, which was what you would call homeless, but I would call home free. I purposely chose to take off on planet Earth and just wander. And in those wanderings, now realize that all of your religions come from nomads, And all of the ideas of faith come from this very concept of putting your life in God's hands. And so I literally did that. I wandered off the edge of a cliff, if you will, not knowing where I was going or what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And 20 years later, here I am talking to you with all of this information that has just kind of woven itself into my life during this whole situation. So it's really been amazing, and I have absolute faith in that.
Okay, let's go to live chat right now. We have a question for you from Dreamwalker. He wants to know, have you ever used a Ouija board yourself?
Not so much. I used to, you know, kid around as a child once. I think I actually have one right here. I can't get it out, but yeah, okay. I mean, there's one there.
Keep it down there, Freeman.
It's not mine, you know. Okay, so communication with these interdimensional beings. I have never personally done an open ritual where I'm standing in the pentagram and holding my sword. I have all the notes to do that. I could do these rituals, but I don't. I study them, you know, I do more of that. So I would be very leery, and especially of Ouija boards. Now, that one doesn't even have the little mouse thing or anything. It's just something that ended up in my room for some odd reason. It's Yikes. Not even mine. I just remembered it was there.
Some people have a coaster. Some people have a Ouija board. I get it.
What are you going to do? Well, we do a lot of film shoots here. You never know what kind of props you might need.
Well, that's the question. Is it a prop or is it a doorway?
Right. I do believe that you can open yourself to these interdimensional beings and that they will absolutely manipulate in your life in a negative way if you are going in that route. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely, absolutely open up portals. And that's what it's all about. And then you take that understanding that that's what these black magicians were about. I do believe in black and white magic. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. But because what I study, it seems to be the case. And if you're even Christian, you'll find, you know, most of the Christians were mystical magicians. You'll find this over and over again.
Well, yeah, I mean, when Jesus was being born, they said it was the Magi
exactly.
that was coming across. Well, the Magi were the magicians. And so a lot of people, I've heard this they say that you're not supposed to consult with magicians or anything based on the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, here they are. And not only are the magi, the magicians coming to see Jesus, that at some point they are protected and God gets them out of where Jesus was being born, out of Jerusalem, because they were being hunted down. So that was a miraculous. So I think maybe there has to be some sort of line upon line, precept upon precept evaluation of there, rather than just say that everything is a demon or that type of thing. All right, let's get to another question. Let's see if I can get this up on my screen here. Well, this person said that, I got to scroll up. I've got so many boards or so many windows open right now. It says, have you ever come across information backing up the theory that Babs Bush is Aleister Crowley's daughter?
And that would be granddaughter. She would be you're right. Daughter. Yeah. Yeah. All right. No, you know, that was a tricky situation. There was a character and I wish I could remember the guy's website. It is linked to my website and has been since day one, but he put it out and I followed the lead and I just shared the information. But then I became known for that information because, well, it's pretty incredible. When you look at a picture of Barbara Bush and you look at an image of Aleister Crowley, you know, they are very much mm-hmm. father, daughter. I mean, you would think they were family. And so then that would make George W. Bush the grandson of the Beast, right?
Yeah.
Because Crowley was known as the Beast. But when you look into Pauline Pierce, who was the Bush's mother, and her strange interactions with Crowley and others. Now, all of this was going on, folks. You know, Disney and Wernher von Braun, Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard. These guys were all practicing magical rituals to open portals to the other side while running, you know, Walt Disney World and, you know, NASA.
It is interesting that all the girls in little Disney shows all turn out to be, promiscuous freaks, man. So I don't know, man. I think it's because they're abusing them or something. All right, we have this question out of the live chat. Says, "What for you, Freeman? What is your most supernatural experience that you have had personally?"
Wow, I've had a few, guys. Definitely get over to freemantv.com and check out the podcast because I don't hide any of this information. So if you want to hear some of the craziest stories you've ever heard and things that happen, because, you know, I live every life, every day on the road or living it fully active. So the amount of things that go on in my life are at least tenfold from the normal human. I know tens of thousands of people. I've lived on hundreds of couches. All right. I've been everywhere and seen everyone. So
sound like Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Very much. I've been everywhere, man. So mystical experiences. I've had some time where I've left my body and walked up on my own body before. That was pretty freaky. Wow. I've flown before in a lucid dream and then had everything be exactly as I saw it when I landed. And my memory is as if I was dreaming. But the synchronicities that bring me these goosebumps when, you know, it may seem simple to you, but I've been walking down a highway and have a piece of paper roll up on my foot and it says, I love you on it. Now, that to me was a huge mystical experience.
I would agree.
I felt goosebumps. I felt the love of God. I knew that there was this shining force guiding me. And it was, it's a number of experiences like that that are just too incredible, the coincidences, to think it's anything but miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we've gone into too much conspiracy as yet as we're going. So let's just dive right into this. James West wants to know, is the Earth flat?
Oh, my God. Okay. So
let's hear it, Freeman.
In these 11 years that I have been doing conspiracy theory and really laying the foundation for many of the ideas that people have gathered and brought forward, I have been watching the reactions of people as new theories and thoughts come up forward. Mm-hmm. And here I have been talking about human cloning for, you know, well, really 11 years, but diehard for 8 years. And this has been something that I can't push into anybody's mind. I'm like, look, the president talked about it. There's legislation for it. The FDA agreed to have cloned meat in 2008. There are cloning labs going on. You know, it's all public news. Forbes magazine says we're cloning John Lennon, you know, and I can't get anyone to think about this topic of human cloning. But this flat earth thing comes in. And boom, I mean, it's like a cult. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was predicted in the conspiracy card game, the Illuminati card game. And, you know, what difference does it make? The best part, I think, about the flat earth versus round earth idea is the acceptance that you don't know. And when you can wrap yourself around the brain and tell yourself as a perfect, honest witness that I don't honestly know whether I'm standing on a plane or a ball. I don't know that. I only think I know that because authority has shown me over and over again. Can I trust NASA? I don't think so.
Right.
So what do I know? Nothing.
Well, you know, you know that fluoride's good for you.
Right.
You know there's no such thing as chemtrails. And you know these things. I mean, you know, there's no...
You know, and either Hillary or Trump are going to save the world.
Yeah. Hey, question for you. Did your parents experience any of these same type of synchronicities or mystical experiences?
Well, I don't know a lot about my parents. I know things about them. But as far as those type – okay, so here I am my entire youth. And I am deep into UFOs, abductions, Bigfoot, all the mysteries of planet Earth, ancient civilizations. Mm-hmm. I mean, by 10 years old into 13, I'm deep into this stuff. I love it. And by the time I go to college, I start college at 25. I graduate around 28. And that's when I learned of Freemasonry. In college, I'd never heard of it before. I didn't know they founded our nation. I didn't know they were in charge of all the other nations, England and Australia and, you know, China or wherever they all are. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea about any of this. I learned about that in college. I come home and I find out, well, I recognized the symbol when I saw it, the compass, square, and G. And I was like, wait, I know that symbol. And my friend's like, well, your dad's a Freemason then. And I'm like, no way, you know, because he's telling me these guys are magicians and stuff. And so I go home and I ask my dad, you know, I'm like, well, what's going on with this? And he's like, oh, yeah, I've been a Mason forever. Your grandfather's a Mason, you know. Never in my entire life had he ever mentioned this to me. So then I find out that he's in Project Blue Book. He's chasing flying saucers for the government. And he's like, yeah, you know, I was stationed on a South Sea island and I had four radar dishes. And anytime a UFO flew over, it was my job to report it, call it in. And just so nonchalant, you know? And I'm like, so this is all real? And he's like, yeah. And when I was born, he was building nukes, right? And then, you know, we built our first color television in the neighborhood, me and my dad. And then my mom, she was she was rescued from a Catholic school by the Nazis. And they went down into the Catholic school and they dug around in the basement in this tunnel that they had between the nuns and the priests. And they found dead babies and sex toys. And the Whoa. Nazis all brought this forward. And they said, look, we're saving you from these Catholics, these evil Catholics. And my mom was rescued by the Nazis. And then she's a Nazi youth from Bavaria, like the Pope Ratzinger was. And then my mom has met Walt Disney and so many weird connections there. She was married to the Grand Potentate of Freemasonry and then ended up with my dad. And there's just like really weird stories. She was raised by a witch and taught some of the rituals, but it kind of freaked her out a little bit.
Okay. All right. Here's a question out of our live chat. This is from Elaine. She says, I know him from the 80s, and the word that comes to her mind is something called Keego, K-E-E-G-O. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. All right, Elaine, you've got anything else that comes to mind? And just let us know. Because during this show, I mean, I would hope that there are some, you know, the supernatural and the thin places and the synchronicities don't stop because we're doing a television show. A few months back, I was doing a show about UFOs, and during the show, my son starts sending videos of a UFO swarm just north of the studio. So, amazingly, with the technology, I'm pretty savvy with it. I grabbed the video from the phone, put it up there, and I was able to broadcast it that night during the show while I was talking about UFOs.
Wow.
Phenomenal show. So I'm looking forward to that for the listeners, for you, for me. We don't know. I look at every show that I do, and I know you do too, that something supernatural may come up, some thought may have an epiphany, you know, or some strange thing would happen. I mean, of course, there's other strange things on the darker side. Like I was dealing with a inside government guy, and the phone went dead. And I tried to call him while he was trying to Skype me back, and then he was calling our 800 number to try to get in to bypass Skype. And he finally got connected with me. He said, "I called your 800 number, and the NSA answered the phone."
No way.
Way. I am telling you. And the listeners will verify that. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, so, you know, so I do look for that. And I don't, the mystical and the supernatural and the things that happen, they don't stop just because we're doing a show. So people should maybe just keep an eye on that. Let's go to our fast blast this time with you, Freeman. Chulo from Florida. How does Satan, secret societies, the New World Order, and end time prophecy play into your studies?
Well, it's really intriguing. Okay, so I'm a completely unbiased researcher. I was not raised with a religion at all. So I come at this with no bias one way or the other. I'm not mad at religion. I'm not happy with it, you know. But what really, really shocks me is as I decode the signs and symbols that I am seeing, they go to Satan. They go to satanic signs and symbols. Mm-hmm. But these signs and symbols are so covert that only someone that knows gematria, which is number letter magic, or someone that understands the signs and symbols or numerology of magic, whatever, realize that these signs are satanic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me give you an example. Very same book that I just had pulled out for you, Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God. They outline what the mark of the beast looks like. Now, realize this is 1973. This was published, and there was no idea or talk of microchips and things of that nature. But within the satanic order, which I can say Crowley's order is a satanic order because he called himself the beast. He was his number was 666. It was, you know, and he talks about, you know, clawing out the eyes of Jesus and such. So anyway. There are many variations of satanic, so I always have to clarify because I'm a researcher and I keep unbiased. So when I start to see these signs and symbols in this one that really stuck out, because the Satanist told me the O and the X is the mark of the beast. Now, another example, the O and the X, the X-Men logo, right?
Right.
It's on the back of the high priest of the Church of Satan's head. So if you want to go check out Rex Diabolus Church, I had him on the show and we have some video, and he has that very mark on the back of his head. This X-Men logo. And of course, the X-Men has the beast, and the beast is wearing the mark of the beast, right? So now I put this forward in Aliens from Hell. I think I covered it even in the Satanification of America and back. And I've been, you know, I've had this mark of the beast thing out for quite some time. And lo and behold, Madonna comes out on the stage and what she personally calls a 33-minute sermon. Mm-hmm. Madonna, of course, is a high Kabbalistic priestess, mm-hmm, practicing, you know, ancient Hebrew mysticism. Mm-hmm. Well, when she did the Super Bowl performance in her 33-minute sermon, she had that mark of the beast all over the place. O and X, O and X. But she also made a VV symbol, which is the Volkswagen logo, right? And two V's, right, or two sixes is the number of the beast, or the number of the number of the beast, obviously 666. Right. 66 is the number of the abyss where the beast lives.
Wow.
And so the VV symbolism, W, is the abyss. Mm. And that's where the beast or Corona Zone exists.
Mm.
And so she had this displayed. So then, after you get this in your mind, then you realize, oh my God, Macintosh, their latest software, the Mac OS 10. Oh, guess what? It's O and X, corporate logo. Xbox, OX, corporate logo. You start looking around at all the biking and sporting goods. You start looking at, and I was just looking for biking gloves, and I had a choice between Fox or 661. And Fox, in English gematria, F is the sixth letter. Mm-hmm. O is the 15th letter, which 1 and 5 makes 6. And X is the 24th letter. 2 and 4 make 6. So Fox is 666. And that's why you see Fox Clothing, Fox Mulder, Lucius Fox, Fox Television, 20th Century Fox. These aren't the same company. Mm. They all are using the word Fox. Why?
Mm.
Right? Because it is the number of the beast. It is 666 in English gematria.
I wonder if you see any other corporate logos that might be occultic.
Well, the Monster Drink logo is the Hebrew letter 666 in Hebrew.
How about that one right there?
Oh, and the Starbucks logo, absolutely. Now, let's just take this in.
Is this a lesbian on here?
Well, she's a receiving girl. Those are not her hands you're seeing there next to her. Those are her ankles.
Whoa.
Yeah, look again.
Okay, I see.
Look again. Those are not her hands. Uh-huh. Those are her ankles.
Oh.
Okay, this is how they used to explain sex with the fish people.
Ooh, that's kinky.
Yeah, and so those are her feet.
I didn't know fish had ankles.
That's like,
Hillary's got cankles, Hillary's got cankles, but you're saying fish got ankles, and they're spreading it.
Right. Well, realize this. Okay, so goddess, Columbia, the goddess of America, the District of Columbia being our capital. Mm-hmm. Columbia goes back to Ishtar, Inanna, Isis, and Isis, Inanna, and on back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what that is representing, is America's goddess, Columbia. But when you realize that she's actually representative of Isis, and there's a connection there with Venus, and Venus is Lucifer. Mm-hmm. So this all goes together. So the Venus symbolism, if you look Venus up in the dictionary, you'll see, or look Lucifer up in the dictionary, and you'll see Venus is the definition, because the planet Venus is known as Lucifer. This is our goddess, Lucifer. So in my very first documentary back in 2004, I explained how Columbia is Lucifer, is Isis. So now on 322, we have an attack by Isis, and 322 is the number of Sibyl, which is another variation of this very same goddess.
Wow.
And the Shekinah, or the Shock and Awe, as it's known in Hebrew, Shekinah, the Shock and Awe, was also this Hebrew form of the goddess, you see. So it's like, when you start to realize that these Freemasonic orders always have a goddess in charge of each of these signs and symbols, it starts to get even more intriguing.
You were doing the W there, and in the political world, everybody knows there's a guy named W out there. So the question is George Bush the grandson of Crowley?
Well, that would be the belief. Now, realize this. I predicted W would be forced into office because of his letter. Now, what I was doing all the way back in the 90s is looking at these signs and symbols. I was introduced to this concept and the New World Order. Right before Y2K, I started to really get into this. It was when Bill Clinton was brought before the public and had to admit to inserting a cigar into his secretary in front of the whole world. Mm-hmm. They do not do this to a president. This was a very key event for me to then outline what was going to happen over the next 12 years. And I have not been wrong. I have not had to retract a single word. I said, look, they're taking down the man, the saxophone playing president that everybody likes.
Blue dress staining man.
Yeah, they're putting him out for an extramarital affair, an idea that most people don't really care about. And so they get rid of the man of the people. And so the next part of the psychological process, this is all psychological warfare. They destroy the man, the president. So now they need to destroy the institution. So I said, well, they're going to force the next president to office. Mm-hmm. And then I heard of this W. And I said, well, W is the 66. Now, what happened was I was going through all the different corporate logos, all of them, and outlining their definitions. You can find all of them right there on freemantv.com if you want to know them all. And I came to Phillips 66. And I was like, well, everything else fits. What is 66? I reached up on my library and I pulled out the Magician's Dictionary and I looked up the number 66. It was simple as that. And it said the abyss, the Clefot, the shells, the fallen angels. Okay, that's what 66 means. So when you're in Star Wars and the clones all attack the Jedi, what happens? He executes Order 66. Whoa. Okay, this is the same thing. So 6 in Hebrew is V. 6 and 6 is V is W. If you took the VW logo, you got 666. If you took the Phillips 66 sign, you'll see it has 6 points on the crest. So you got 66 with 6 points. You're on 666 again, but 66 is the abyss, mm-hmm. the fallen angels. Mm-hmm. And so I predicted W would be forced into office because he was the letter W. His father, HW, who was known as Magog, in Skull and Bones, right? The end of the world, like these guys, Skull and Bones, 322, which was the day of the Brussels, which is the day of Sybil, 322 Skull and Bones. They are war gods that base all of their religions on the end of the world. So he's known as Magog. John Kerry, he's known as Long Devil, right?
Well, he's got a long face.
Yeah, so HW means Emperor of the Fallen Angels. Mm-hmm. W is the tool of the fallen angels. I was able to predict that would happen. And then I said, well, the next president, and you can see this on my website before you ever heard the name Barack Obama. I said, the next president will not be considered an American citizen because that was the next part of the problem. First, you bring down the man, Bill Clinton. Then you force the institution by forcing in a president. Then you destroy the Constitution by bringing in an unconstitutional president. It was easy for me to see. Mm-hmm. And I predicted it all 10 years before it happened.
Ooh, I like that. All right, let's go to the fast blast, Betty from New Mexico. Freeman, what is your definition of a magician?
My definition of a magician is really an artist. Magic really is just utilizing your will and your imagination to create. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to the basis form, painting a painting is a form of magic. Just drawing or scribbling on a piece of paper is a form of magic.
Mm-hmm. All right. And let's get to this question here. Are you familiar with the writings and studies of William Cooper, which exposed much of the material that you're discussing tonight?
Oh, sure. Bill Cooper. I mean, who would go without Behold a Pale Horse? I mean, it's required reading, folks. If you can't read it, get the audiobook. But I recommend reading. Sure. I've got that one right over here. Absolutely. When you start to throw this extraterrestrial situation into this puzzle, that's when it really freaks people out. And it's really hard for people to accept that this is part of the program and part of the problem. Mm-hmm. They sent the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still to Alpha Centauri. You know, who's watching it there, I wonder? And you know what? It arrived in Alpha Centauri on December 21st, 2012. Now, this is open science. I'm not making any of this up, just like all the cloning stuff, you know. So, my dad chased flying saucers for the government. I have to believe in extraterrestrials.
Did you ever interview Mike Cleland on your show?
I just had him on.
Okay, and because I thought about that because earlier I thought you mentioned owls, but of course, there is a little bitty owl, and you actually opened the program talking about money. There's a little bitty owl sitting on the one, perched sitting there, right there on the one. What is that owl sitting there for?
Well, the owl really is a symbol of seeing into the darkness and being able to see in a full of rotation. And then it's also the sign of wisdom. And it goes to the goddess or mother Sophia, which means wisdom. And this is why you will always see the owl with the goddess. Mm-hmm. You will find her with Ishtar, Minerva, Athena. That's their symbol of seeing through the darkness and bringing back wisdom, which may be the idea of going into the abyss and losing your marbles and coming back a crazy magician. I don't know.
Another money question, came in from Dreamwalkers. I think it's on the $50 bill and $100 bill. There are hidden images. One of them appears to be the Hoover Dam bursting. Is that something that we could apply some legitimacy to, or is that just a coincidence?
Okay, this is a trip, and you know, believe me if you will, I predicted 9/11. It was another magical understanding that I had. I was watching as they were trying to form Homeland Security, and it was just a major failure. Now, this was all during the Clinton era, not into Bush, right? Mm-hmm. And every October 1st, the Homeland Security bill would come up, and everybody would go, no, oh, my God, you know, you're looking at Nazi Germany here. No way. And they needed a reason, right? Of course, obviously. And they already had Tom Ridge waiting in the wings as the head of Homeland Security when there was no Homeland Security Department yet. So it was pretty obvious they were going to force this issue. Mm-hmm. So each October 1st, I kept waiting and I said, well, okay, they're going to need about a 2-week reaction time for the public to, so they're going to need a major terrorist attack in the middle of September. Now, as I was watching through some of my New World Order stuff, and I saw HW announcing the New World Order openly for the first time on 9/11, 1990, mm-hmm. I was like, 9/11. Okay, I can pull out another book on this shelf from a Satanist explaining the meaning of 9/11. Okay, it is a satanic symbol. This is why you see it in so many movies. It's not they were prophesying the 9/11 World Trade Center event. It is a satanic symbol, 9/11, because 10 is God, all right? Really? So if you go from 9 to 11, then you're skipping God. You're becoming a sorcerer instead of a magician, all right? You're a self-serving magician with no power of God within you. That's the skipping of 10, 9/11. I got a whole book about it, all right? Mm-hmm. So I knew then that 9/11 was significant. And so I told a bunch of people, I was at a party, and I said, there was a band playing. And when the band stopped, I picked up the microphone and I said, hey, there's going to be a major terrorist attack on 9/11. Don't freak out. This is all for your reaction. Yeah. And in a way, I was trying to say, don't be Alex Jones, you know, but he didn't exist yet, right? Or he did. I didn't know about him. Okay. So just real quick, on the day of 9/11, I had no idea it was 9/11 that day. I have no television. I have no calendar. I don't know anything, but I predicted the day using my science of magic coupled with politics, and I knew the day. I announced it at the party that morning. I have people banging at my door, screaming, a dozen of them, screaming at me, how did you know? How did you know? And I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I'm just waking up in a puddle of dogs, like, what are you guys talking about? It took me a whole week to actually see the Twin Towers fall. But here's the unique part. Somebody in that line already had their bill folded as the Twin Towers. They had that 20 on 9/11. Okay, that's impossible, all right? Unless you're me, right? Unless you're someone that's so devoted and dedicated to this topic that you're willing to try and fold a dollar bill into that shape and show this to be possible. Mm-hmm. On 9/11, I'm the only one that knows this, okay? But there was a person in that line. And so I said to them, well, how did you know this? There's no way you know this. And he's like, it was all over the internet. Okay, that was information they wanted you to know. Mm. That was a way of them showing you this was a magic ritual. They put it out there. So that's what I got to say about the bills. Yes, absolutely. The 5 to the 100 shows the exact scenario from beginning to end. And those bills changed in 1996. And that was a big year for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that certainly is fascinating. But I've got to get to this even more fascinating factoid to discuss with you. What's a puddle of dogs? That sounds pretty deep right there, Freeman. I mean, come on, man. That's a conspiracy. So what's a puddle of dogs, man?
I am an urban shaman. I am a nomad wandering fool. And I often wake up in a cuddle puddle with numerous animals. I was kind of holding back there because I actually woke up that morning with an iguana warming on my belly while a cockatiel was picking things out of my eyelashes with its beak, and it would just roll back and forth across my head no matter how many times I tried to move it. And then there were three dogs around me and a cat at my feet. So that's how I woke up on 9/11. I can't forget that.
Freeman, ever. You were holding back the iguana part?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm trying to get to the, the important stuff.
Well, that's pretty daggone important right there.
No, it's totally true, though.
Speaking of important, let's go to Fast Blast Arkansas Bob. Freeman, with your vast knowledge of symbols, can you express what the seal of God may appear as?
No. But I can tell you something very intriguing. The new cities that they're putting up, like Astana, which is one of the new global capitals. Now, if you don't know about Astana, then you don't know anything. And Astana is in Kazakhstan. And this is near where the Cosmodrome or the rocket launches to the International Space Station occur. Because Russia has moved way ahead of America. And Astana is this astonishing city that is, they're building the first indoor city there. It's going to be climate controlled and everything. They're way ahead. And they have a pyramid of peace there at Astana that you have to walk through to get to the city. And in that pyramid of peace, which is a giant glass pyramid, is the Council of World Religions, where they all sit around this giant sundial. And then you walk through the Pyramid of Peace and you enter the city of Astana, and there's two giant copper columns that stand before you. This is Jachin and Boaz, the columns leading into Solomon's temple. And then there's a massive buckyball on a spire with the architect's hand placed into a golden triangle, looking very much like something out of Total Recall. Now, this whole place is a smart city, and the city itself was pre-planned. And if you look at Astana from the satellite, you will see that it's actually designed as a seal of Solomon to use the power of demons.
Oh.
And so if you go to Solomon, you'll find that he was the lead magician, wrote the major grimoire. His magic was known as Goetia, which is also the form of magic that you use to go to the abyss. So the Goetia magic is what Solomon is known for. And he had 72 seals that he used to build the temple. Mm-hmm. Using demons, right? Now, if you want to look at the street plan of Astana, of Canberra in Australia, and there's another one in my documentary, but you'll see that they're actually built upon as seals to control demons.
Why did they build it there? Is it on a ley line? Is it a thin place? What's the reasoning? You know?
Couldn't tell you, honestly, on that level.
Okay. All right. We've got a couple more questions before we go to our 9 o'clock break here from somewhere in an underground military base. Somebody says, is our dreams the real reality and this physical reality just a dream?
Do not discount your dreams. That's all I can say. I have had some very, very significant moments in lucid dreams. I've met a fallen angel. Witnessed Lilith. I've had some flying experiences, and the fallen angel one was really weird. It was almost like a genetic memory thing. This giant vulture type thing landed in front of me and then came and spoke to me, and it was two stories tall. And I was standing there on a second floor balcony, and my genetic memory said, feed this thing. And that's all I could think to do. And so I went and gathered all the food, and it literally sat there and told me a story of how they had failed in their mission and that they were actually trying to rectify the situation. And it got deep into the Book of Enoch, honestly. And it was really bizarre because I hadn't read it. I didn't know. And it was, so yeah, your dreams are very important.
Wow. So how many of the dreams that we have are they premonitions of future events? Are we supposed to interpret them? Can they help guide us? I mean, is every dream, even the wacky dreams, do they mean something? Or are there specific dreams that we are impressed with that we know are the ones that to keep us on our destiny path?
Yeah, I really think those dreams stand out. So as an example, Carl Jung, who really founded the idea of synchronicity, on the idea that he had had a patient come in saying that she had dreamed of a golden scarab. And as they were sitting in his lounge, in his office, a tap happened at the window. He opened the window and a golden scarab flew into the room. And this was the moment that solidified the concept of synchronicity for Carl Jung. And that's really what, you know, and Carl Jung was a magician, folks. So, you know, don't deny this. You got to look deep into Jungian. I mean, you've got to study Jungian psychology to be a magician. You check any of the magician books. It does. It plays right into both of these things.
Okay. All right. Freeman, we're right at the top of the hour here. We take a 5-minute break and just keep your Skype line off and we'll go to a video or something in the 5-minute break time. Before we tell the folks how and what they can find on Freeman TV.
FreemanTV.com. It is newly revamped. I'm so excited about it. Okay, so you're going to find endless data there, and realize that it is the resource. It is the foundation of many of these things. I've been doing this, well, you know, almost as long as Daniel. But a lot of these concepts and ideas that you see around are really, you know, founded in my work. It is a very scientific research. So FreemanTV.com is meant to entertain and educate, and it's never stopped. I've put something new out every week for the last 11 years, and I don't plan on quitting. Right now, I've also got a new band going. It's the Kevin Spacey Experiment.
Really?
And we're not really even off the ground yet, but we have a website, thekevinspaceyexperiment.com. And I decided to go ahead and jump into a forefront because I'm getting you do conspiracy theory so long, you want to do something a little more entertaining and you want to pick a mission and a goal. And I chose marijuana prohibition as my latest platform. So I got a new show called Stoner Eye coming out where we're going to really start to attack and confront this idea of prohibition of this life-saving herb.
Okay. All right. Like I say, Freeman, just stay on the line here and we'll be back in 5 minutes with you. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. All right, everybody. You're watching and or listening to the Edge Television broadcast. On our newsmaker line tonight is, of course, Freeman Fly of Freeman Fly TV. There's a link right there. And Jade has put a link there in the live chat as well. We're going to be back in 5 minutes. Stand by. Let's go back to our newsmaker line. On our Skype line, video-wise, is Freeman Fly. Freeman, welcome back to the Edge Television broadcast.
Thank you, Danny.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it was very interesting in the first half. We want to get into the second hour. And by the way, those of you that have joined the program but like to interact with the program, specifically with Freeman, you can send your questions through the Fast Blast link on the left side or join them in the live chat where our moderator, Jade, will pull your questions out and send them to me. Keep them short and maybe put a queue in front of them. That'll help us out because a lot of you are chatting amongst yourself, but we appreciate that. But anyway, so you can interact with the program there. But in the second hour, Freeman, let's talk about cloning. And I'm going to go over here. I've got a couple pictures, and I probably grabbed them from your website here, but let's get them up there. Let's talk about Obama. Some people say that he is a clone. Is that possible?
Well, some people, that would be me.
You specifically.
Yeah. I'm the one who started all of that.
Uh-oh, troublemaker.
It's possible that, you know, the head of the Iranian chief or someone like that's talking about Obama being a clone, but that was long after me. I've been talking about this for quite some time. Honestly, I began talking about the cloning of mummies on my very first television show. So in 2004... I was already discussing the cloning of mummies because it happened in 1985. And it was a little tidbit of information I had in my head, just like head transplants, things that have happened way in the past that nobody even thinks about. Now consider this, 100 years before Dolly was born in 1897, Hans Spemann was making clones using a piece of hair off of his newborn baby's head.
Whoa.
All right. And hand-blown glass tools. So 100 years before Dolly, they were cloning amphibians, cloning frogs. All right. We currently have a major operation going on in China and North Korea, where they are starting massive cloning factories. Now, this is just straightforward news. You can invest in it. You've, of course, heard of Clone Your Pet, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was
on Total Recall.
Oh, really? You don't know? You can clone your pet $100,000. You can have your pet back.
Okay.
There's a great story of one that was known as Chance. It was a Brahma bull. And this Brahma bull was a fan or a family friend. And they would lay with it and hang out with it and stuff.
Ooh.
Well, Chance died, this 2,000-pound Brahma bull, and they decided to clone him. 100 grand, what the heck? So they clone Chance. They call him Second Chance, but Second Chance is evil, all right? Second Chance gores this guy to pieces, rips his scrotum open. Whoa. It's all documented, everything there. You can even see the two different, all right? So cloning is happening, all right? They announced the FDA okayed cloned meat for you in 2008. Now, Boya Life and what has been come to known as the disgraced scientist, Hwang Suk. Hwang Suk is the doctor who is cloning everybody's pets and is now starting this new cattle cloning facility and will be cloning hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of cattle for your dining pleasure. Ooh. All right, so this is all in the news. Forbes magazine, just last issue. Will we clone John Lennon? There was a dentist who bought John Lennon's tooth in an auction and decided, hey, you know what? I could clone John Lennon. All right? So this is going on. You go to CloneAid's website. Now, CloneAid stood before Congress in the year 2000 and announced that they had birthed their first clone named Eve. That she was born in Florida, and they couldn't tell you exactly where because, well, she's illegal. But then they went on to clone many, many other people. They cloned a dead boy. And okay, if you go to CloneAid's website right now, you'll see how excited they are that Michael Jackson left them DNA for them to clone him. All right, so cloning Michael Jackson, cloning John Lennon, cloning has been going on for 100-plus years. All right, let's not act like this is crazy. The president himself came before the American public, and I thought everybody would notice, and said, I am going to start federal funding towards human cloning. And no one cared. You know, that was the big deal. George Bush and Arnold Schwarzenegger won a huge cloning battle. The idea of stem cells, the use of stem cells to regenerate body parts, to reconnect spinal columns, to do head transplant surgeries. You know, the use of stem cells for life-saving events is phenomenal. There are 33 stem cell immortality programs going on the International Space Station right now by a corporation known as Genesis. Now, these were all flown up. They were flown up by the Columbia shuttle, the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, as our space shuttles are titled. These programs were sent up. And the very last stem cell immortality for human program that went up to the International Space Station was actually the very last space shuttle flight. Okay, so these things are going on. Mm-hmm. The president has now made it profitable to clone. It was not profitable when George Bush and Arnold Schwarzenegger were battling over it because there was no federal funding. Mm-hmm. You can watch my documentary in E.T. and the Transhumanist Agenda and watch Barack Obama himself say all these things. And he tells you that we will not use human cloning for reproduction, only for experimentation, right? So you can't actually bring an embryo to life, but you can clone all the embryos. You can mingle them with jellyfish. You can make them glow in the dark. You can do all of these things. We have glow-in-the-dark cats and pigs, yes. And you know, so I don't understand why it's such a big deal. Now, 1985, Nature magazine announces, hey, we just cloned a mummy. And this mummy was from the period of Akhenaten, which is about 2,500 years ago. Now, this was a big mystery because the viable DNA shouldn't have survived all that time. So there was something to the mummification process that the ancient Egyptians knew that we don't know today because Stalin and Lenin are both rotting in their mummy wraps, okay? But yet here's a 2,500-year-old mummy doing just fine, all right? There was something the Egyptians knew that we don't know that saves a viable cell for cloning. Now, they cloned a mummy in 1985. They didn't bring a mummy together. Oh. Okay, what is a clone? Let me just throw this out real quick, Daniel, so people understand. Sure. When we're talking about Obama or somebody being a clone, this means that they are the identical twin brother of the other clone, born years apart, all right? They're not the same people. They're not the same thing. They are identical twins born years apart and possibly by different mothers, right? Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's children, Paris, Blanket. No one knows who their parents were because he used birth mothers artificial insemination.
Those kids don't look like him, that's for sure.
No, they're blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Come on. It was open. None of this has been hidden. It's just the public is not ready to understand it yet. None of this has been hidden. Michael Jackson was very open about using mind transfer technologies to put his soul into a clone or into a robot. He bought a robot named E-Rock. You can see it. It exists. You know, these things all exist, and they're all there for you to watch on YouTube. Okay, so they cloned a mummy in 85. Then now I find Barack Obama and his entire family and Beyonce are all identical to a single Egyptian family. This is physically impossible without cloning. Mm-hmm. They are all identical. If it was just Obama, I would say coincidence. But it's four family members and four family members from 2,500 years ago, and they're all identical? No. Cloning. That's the only way. It amazes me that people would say, well, what about reincarnation? I'm like, really? You're going to believe in four people reincarnating exactly the same appearance over the idea that we have this technology for cloning mummies? And then I put out this theory. I put it out to time it with Barack Obama announcing that he was going to give federal funding to cloning, right? So I timed my release for that. And at this point, they had not announced that they had Akhenaten's DNA. So that was the last piece of my puzzle. I was saying, well, I can't prove this is true because they've never said that KV-55 is actually Akhenaten. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, the head of the Giza Plateau gets the Discovery Channel to put in $6 million and build a DNA lab in the basement of the Cairo Museum. Okay, Discovery Channel gets Zahi Hawass to build a DNA lab. And he suddenly announces on the Discovery Channel, look here, I have King Tut and Akhenaten's DNA. So I was like, there you go. There you go. There it is. All right. They have the DNA.
Well, let me ask you, Obama's head has that scar. Is that any part of this cloning procedure?
Well, the curious thing about Akhenaten and the reason he pops up on every ancient astronaut story.
He don't go
is
away,
because he's the one who brought monotheism to the world. Before that, it was polytheism, and they had all the nine Egyptian gods. Akhenaten said, no, there's one god. It's the sun. Freud thought Akhenaten was Moses, okay? Every Masonic lodge in the world has a temple and a shrine to Akhenaten. The Rosicrucians, another magical order in California, has a shrine to Akhenaten. I show you all of this, all right? The Grand Lodge, the Temple of the 33rd, the Supreme Council of the Mother Lodge of Freemasonry has a shrine to Akhenaten. The Grand Lodge in Philadelphia has a major shrine to Akhenaten. Okay, so this guy is totally important. I could pull off the book Secret Destiny of America by the magician and mason Manly P. Hall. Second chapter in Secret Destiny of America. Akhenaten, the man born 2,500 years too soon. Okay, he's very important to these people. But he had a cone head. And all the depictions of Akhenaten and his family have cone heads and pointy Vulcan ears. All right? You don't often see the pointy Vulcan ears. I snuck you footage from the museum in London to show you this. They told me I was not allowed to film this stuff, folks, and I filmed it for you anyway, all right? So it's there on Freeman TV. Just look up Obama clone, and you'll see it. Pointy Vulcan ears with big cone heads. The entire family, except for their mom, Michelle, Queen T. She was actually a giant in some senses, but she's another mystery. But anyway, so if he had a cone head and they wanted him to make him look human, they would have to put these scars and cut his head and make it smaller, right? So it's possible they deconed him.
Ah, see that. Let me ask you then, do the Obamas know that they're cloned?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you watch a movie like The Sixth Day, now The Sixth Day was put out with Arnold Schwarzenegger as he was really pushing for cloning. Now, you know, he became Covenor, folks, you know what I mean? Wow. And The Sixth Day is a movie by Phoenix Pictures. Now, if you go to the Phoenix Pictures and watch the movie, their corporate logo is a friction match burning up into a fiery phoenix. Now, go look up Lucifer in the dictionary and you will see Venus. And right below Venus, you will see friction match. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Lucifer Phoenix Pictures is showing you this cloning transhumanist agenda. And then they also use mind transfer technologies to create immortality by transferring your soul into your next clone over and over again, which is what the transhumanists like Dr. Ichkov, the Russian billionaire, or the Russian who is seeking billionaires to fund their own immortality is giving them with his avatar program. So I outline all of this in Aliens from Hell, And it's incredible, folks. Every bit of it, scientific, every bit of it backed up.
Aliens from Hell sounds like a book I want to read. All right, King's Daughter out of the live chat asked this question. Have you heard about the alien reptilians living underground in places like the U.S. Army stumbled onto them years ago, some claim?
The Dulce, New Mexico mystery is quite impressive. And the people involved, I've lost his name at the moment, but... you know, he actually has a large scar and three of his fingers missing. Mm-hmm. And he says this was due to a laser cut.
Yeah.
Now, they did try to kill him three or four times, but he had a plexi or a Kevlar plate in his chest from this, you know, being cut in half by the laser. Now, all of this, you can see him talking about it, right? It's on YouTube right now.
Phil Schneider.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Bill Schneider. Exactly.
Thanks, King's Daughter.
You know, I have always believed that the grays, these extraterrestrials that we discuss, are not from outer space. I've always believed they were subterranean beings. When you look at their makeup, they are subterranean wherever they come from. They are ant-like people. Mm-hmm. Now, the Hopi, they spoke of these ant-like people, and they called them the Anasazi. And you also have the Anunnaki. And so I do believe it's very possible that there is a subterranean race on this planet that has existed there longer than humans have been upright, mm-hmm. and that they come to the surface in their flying saucers. Mm-hmm. Because who believes that a flying saucer is going to come from, say, Alpha Centauri, travel 4 years at light speed, land here, and crash?
Or crash, all right.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not going to happen. But now realize the Roswell incident and all of those were also dealing with Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, and L. Ron Hubbard doing the openings of the aethers and not closing them. So 1947 was the year Crowley died, and he died just months after the Roswell incident. And these guys were openly trying to magically open portals for these entities to arrive. So, you know, you got to take that into account.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why the Obamas are cloned? Is it that the DNA or the psyche or whatever the power is in him to destroy this country or to bring the world into some subservient place for the Illuminati to control? What's the connection about?
Okay, and as I was saying, every Grand Lodge, every book written by Masonry, they worship Akhenaten. There is a temple and a shrine in every Grand Lodge around the world.
So is that the highest person that there is, the highest entity?
In many ways. The Rosicrucian Order, a magical order that runs a lot of things, they say Akhenaten began their religion.
Is that Satan?
Or their – well, you know, like I say, Freud thought he was Moses. So it depends on your view, I guess.
Well, biblically, I think the Bible says that the Antichrist will not have regard for women, and it does seem that Obama has some sort of gay past up in Chicago.
There is, you know, a very sinister story. Him and what was that? Sinclair. What was the guy's name?
Sinclair, yeah. Larry, and Reggie Larry Love Sinclair. And all them guys.
Yeah, sure.
All them homos.
You know, homosexuality and all of that was very normal in the High Egypt Empire. And so these guys are very much, they're pansexuals, and they are training your children through people like Miley Cyrus.
But they're doing
to be pansexuals as well. Mm-hmm. Or they use Katy Perry to get you to open yourself to having an abduction scenario and creating a supernatural child with an extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Katy Perry's E.T. So yes, they are programming this very thing into your children. They're all singing it, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to be abducted. I want to be a victim. Fill me with your poison, right? Mm. That's the Katy Perry lyrics, right? Yeah. I see little children singing this. It trips me out. Mm-hmm. You know, E.T. You know, abduct me.
What is a pansexual?
A pansexual, it will have sex with anything, animal. Ooh. You know, pan being all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's anything. We announced this the moment they turned the White House red, white, and blue, or rainbow colors, mm-hmm. and legalized gay marriage, because we have been talking about the homosexual agenda for some time. Now, I'm not honestly offended by homosexuality. I don't really want to know either way, but I don't either. I don't care one way or the other, but when I look at what's going on politically, it is a social engineering campaign to depopulate the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a very strategic reason why the White House was, you know, bathed in rainbow light. And the Super Bowl ritual this year was very rainbow and very homosexual. And you can just imagine what all those jocks were thinking as their sports arena was turned into pink butterflies and rainbow flags. You know, this is an agenda. It's a social engineering agenda.
What's a... On sort of a political note, this horrible bombing scenario that happened in Belgium, while they're cleaning up the blood and the bodies, Obama's down in Cuba doing the tango with a porn star. What is there some significance to that?
Yeah, okay. So I put out another lecture known as the Satanification of America. And the truth is that they have to give all reason to the rest of the world to completely hate us. That's why they're putting out like Honey Boo Boo, and you get to watch that in Dubai. You know, they want everybody to look at us and see Satan. So he is intended to upset everyone. Like, that's his real goal. You know, he shunned the king of Sweden or Norway. He shunned, you know, all these people, Blair, you know, everyone that came to see Obama, he would get shunned. They'd fly all this way and he would shun them. So there were many situations where the psychological warfare was to make everybody, you know, really hate America. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one thing, though, if Obama serves a third term, I might be the most famous person on this planet.
Are you calling Obama for a third term?
I have been for quite many years, especially when he passed the executive order. I have it on my website. To do away with the terms of limits of terms for presidencies, to get rid of the constitutional amendment for the limits. Mm-hmm. And he's constantly making jokes about his third term.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So what you're really saying is he's given us the knowledge. And that is something I want to ask you about. I've asked the other guests. I want your take on this. Before a major event like a 9/11, I think it was drawn into the Simpsons. There was various things. Does the demonic side have to tell us, the dark side? Do they have to tell us? Is there a legal thing they have to tell us in advance for the destruction and chaos that they're going to perform on us? And almost like a permission. Like if they're telling us, we don't say anything about it, and they're actually giving permission. Is there some kind of legal thing there? And does that happen?
There is absolutely a spiritual barrier that they must get through. And they use all kinds of wicked means, like Hollywood and commercials and news, to get your free will agreement. Now, what you will realize is that every Mason and every magician that has ever walked into a darkened lodge to sit before a skull and some bones and things has said they come of their own free will and accord. This is the very first words that you would say as a Mason as you're entering into your initiation. Mm-hmm. And you come of your own free will and accord. And yes, that is the barrier, that you must give your free will agreement to this. I firmly believe this from all the evidence that I've seen.
Well, who is giving the permission? Is it the collective of humans? Or is there a certain amount of humans? Is it the political leaders of the humans? Who is giving the agreement for these things?
Well, you know, it's a spiritual agreement, and so it really has to do with the idea of what we will allow them to do to us. Mm-hmm. And we cheer on the warfare when we're watching Transformers. You know, we cheer it on when we're watching Heroes and all of these type of scenarios where we're thinking it's just Hollywood and that it's just entertainment. In a spiritual sense, you are completely opening yourself to accepting these mm-hmm. things as reality, and therefore then they become reality.
Mm-hmm. All right. And for those of you just joining the broadcast, we have on our Skype line, Freeman Fly. Be sure to drop by Freeman Fly TV. If you want to interact with the program, click on the Fast Blast link on the left side or join him in a live chat and put your questions through there. Let me ask you this question here. It says, what do you believe will happen to your spirit self if you do not choose God or Satan before you die?
See, I'm not in that paradigm. Mm-hmm. I have no answer for that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised with the religion, so I don't have those thoughts.
Is all those in religions, are they necessarily not spiritual. I would consider, would you consider yourself a spiritual person? I mean, synchronicity and things happening to you, there must be something in another realm, another dimension, whether it's called a spiritual dimension or another dimension in an Albert Einstein sense. So can religious people actually be in that spiritual thing and they're just misterming what they're saying, say for God or for the devil?
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, I'm a scientist, a researcher. I study Satan. I study, you know, biblical writing and things. So, like, if you look to Satan in the original Hebrew sense, you find an emissary of God. Satan, and there were a multitude of them, was a being that was a stumbling block. He was known as a mastema in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And this, like the story of Balaam and the talking donkey, when he's trying to, the donkey's like, no, don't you see the Satan before us? The adversary who's telling us to take a different path. And the guy's like, no, keep going, donkey. And he's beating him. And the donkey's like, why are you beating me? You know, there's a Satan in front of us. That Satan was sent down from God to stop Balaam from taking that path. Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, when you say terms like God, Satan, there's so many different levels, and I find that, you know, people don't really study the Bible. Instead, they let their pastors tell them what these words mean, and they don't look any deeper and try to understand what this book is really trying to say. And you bring in any other alternative understanding to it, and if it's not what the pastor said, then, you know, you're wrong.
The figure Paul was on a road to Damascus, and he was struck by a blinding light, and I believe that's where he transformed his name to Saul, and his path would dramatically change. Would not that experience be similar to the experience you said, maybe on a different scale, in the first hour when you said a piece of paper flew by your foot and said, I love you? Couldn't those experiences all be from the same place?
Well, I got to say that a mycologist, one that studies mushrooms and psychedelic mushrooms, went and studied the Song of Solomon in Psalms and found that it was a perfect...
I mean, 14 years, the power just completely wiped the studio out, had to refire the whole thing.
That's crazy.
Now, can you recall what you were talking about? Because usually when that happens, somebody on the other side doesn't like it.
Well, you know, I was talking about the positive uses of psychedelics and mind-altering states.
And how does that get? Are you saying that gets you knowledge that you need to have to function to find out what's going on?
I think there is it's proven that there are connectors for receptors in our brains for, say, cannabis. Cannabinoids are already built into our brains. And so you're simply enhancing this. They have found that no matter how much cannabis they put into rats, that they can't overdose them, and that they are being cured of cancer. They are being healed. They are coming out stronger, better. Okay, John Hopkins University did a study on psilocybin mushrooms and quickly found that psilocybin removes depression out of 98%, if not even 100%, of their patients. And so this new knowledge is coming forth. We're finding out that there are many receptors in the mind that are already there, ready to be activated by these substances. And I think, and I know, that these have been utilized by nomads, shamans, prophets, throughout all of humanity's existence.
Well, I think you were talking about the Song of Solomon.
Yes, yes. And how a mycologist found that it can be used as a perfect study guide for finding mushrooms and psychedelics in the wild.
Really? Yeah, give me a tidbit on that, man. That's brand new one for me, and I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, I would have to pull that one out. I have to rack my brain real quick. I think that it is in the book The Mushroom and the Cross. Idea that Jesus is a mushroom. That was a very intriguing one. And... It was somebody else's work, and I'm not a mycologist, so I can only go on what they were saying, but that the descriptions that he uses in the poetry of the Song of Solomon can easily be translated into a mycology exploration.
So was somebody partaking when they wrote the book?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Freeman, do you partake?
I have. I've tried many of these different things. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't consider these drugs, right? Okay. I consider them explorations in consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I don't abuse it. I don't party. A lot of these things like ayahuasca, salvia, DMT, dimethyltryptamine, these are not things that you use lightly, and they aren't fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And then there's the psychedelic experience of LSD, which is really more of a chemically induced mm-hmm. psychedelic experience. Whereas mm-hmm. if you were out picking psilocybin mushrooms off cow patties, then you would have more of a transcendent yeah. experience than well, going on well, some sort it, of
well, the, well, if the smell don't get you, the drugs will. So, in all of that, you haven't, you don't feel like you've crossed any line or gone into any dark places that you couldn't get back from. You feel pretty comfortable that if you were in an altered state of some sort, that you would actually have an elevated consciousness rather than a receptor or open a portal for something that you may not necessarily like to control you.
I have never had a quote unquote bad trip. And I have done it a lot, especially psilocybin mushrooms. You know, we used to just go pick them from the field. And so I've only had amazing, wonderful, blissful communications with the God force, you know, on these, in these psychedelic realms. I really have never had any sort of evil sensation or frightening or anything that would make me think it was negative.
I see in the live chat, somebody wrote Genesis 1:29. God gave, behold, I give you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, which seed is in itself. So is that corroborating what you said, that God put, and do you even believe in the concept of God? So if it wasn't God, who put the seeds here for them to grow anyway?
Well, when we're getting to the idea of psilocybin mushrooms, you actually have to go extraterrestrial. It turns out that the spore of these mushrooms can travel through space and make it through the atmosphere. Now, there you can watch mushrooms growing, and you'll be blown away because they just seem to grow out of nothing. They seem to just pull themselves out of the atmosphere and form. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to go look at this in slow-mo on the internet. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So psilocybin itself actually has 5 indoles, and these are the chemical makeup of the body. Now, there is nothing else on the planet that has 5. Everything else on planet Earth has 4. Mm-hmm. Indoles. And so when you start looking at this puzzle, the psilocybin mushroom seems to be an extraterrestrial consciousness. Now, realize that people report the same beings, the same type of light beings. I've witnessed them myself that come through mm-hmm. in these scenarios. And there does seem to be a form of communication going on between you and some other entities out there. But I've never found this to be a negative experience at all. A little shocking at times, but mm-hmm. never really negative.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you need to use some of that? And have some of your productions come out of that? And if so, well, let's just say maybe a video. Have you been, I don't want to say under influence, let's say partaking. Have you produced any of your videos on Freeman Fly TV that you are partaking in?
Okay, well, let me be honest then. Okay. I am an honor student, have been an honor student from beginning to end through college, university. I'm I've got honor certificates. I'm a straight A student. Okay. And I swear up and down to every student that I'll ever speak to that I could have never done that with the pacifying need or use of marijuana. Mm-hmm. I find it very helpful to do a lot of the creative works. I don't think I could edit without it. So that definitely, and the studies that come along with cannabis, we're about to produce the new show Stoner Eye, and we will have doctors on there explaining this all to you. Doctors that have done 15 years of research into this. You know, this is a very positive plant. and very necessary for the healing of the planet, not to mention a completely renewable resource that would end all lumber. It would oxygenate the planet. I mean, it would cure cancer. It is the golden ticket. And that's why there is such a strict prohibition. I mean, Henry Ford made a car out of hemp, and it was nearly indestructible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are all the things that we could do with just the hemp plant: medicines, oils, cure cancer, you know, cure depression. All of these things come from this one single plant. Mm-hmm. And yet we have, you know, this prohibition still going, from stupid movies like, what was that?
Well, let me ask you, Freeman, are you a Bernie Sanders supporter?
Oh, you know what? This is a no-win situation election. You know, I would rather, like, put out the idea of, you know, vote for Cthulhu. Why vote for the lesser evil?
I like Cthulhu.
But I did want to say that somebody actually did give me some mushrooms right before I aired Columbia. And that was a very amazing moment for me, because Columbia was pretty much my anti-Illuminati ritual. I made this film to kind of throw it back in their face.
Ooh.
Now, Columbia came out a year before The Da Vinci Code, and I had pre-made the film, but I had a live slot on Access Television. So I was sitting there giggling my butt off the whole time Columbia went out to the public on television. It was a great moment for me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how do you know that you are not a clone?
I don't. Actually, some guy in a clone lab swears up and down that I'm a clone. I don't think so. You know, you don't know. How could you know? You would never know. Have you ever seen Orphan Black? I mean, that's an interesting television show all about the idea of what happens when you're a clone. It's very popular these days. You know, you go all the way back with The Sixth Day and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then move it up to today, and it's quite prominent now.
You have one of the reasons we're having you on a program, you're widely considered an expert with the occult and symbology, Illuminati. And I saw somebody in the live chat ask this question. It's not facetious, because that's the way it's explained. But would you ever commit suicide, Freeman?
No. Yeah, go ahead. Put that on the record.
Yeah.
I'm one happy guy, folks. I studied some of the craziest stuff, but I am really a happy person. I've had a beautiful life. I've had so many wonderful, amazing people in my life, and I still do. And the community I feel around me, I am in bliss on planet Earth, and I'm really enjoying this experience that we're having. I don't intend, you know, when I... You know, this life is just an experience, and so I'm really taking it to the hilt and loving every minute of it. Mm-hmm. So no, let's put it on the record. No way. If they ever say I committed suicide, don't believe that for a second.
Okay. Well, and there's an additional reason for that, because when this power went out for the first time ever, there's no storms here whatsoever. It's never happened, and call me paranoid, but it could be somebody's watching. So you said earlier, watch the slow-mo of spores. What, or is that mushroom spores or what?
Watching the mushroom form. See, now I've gone out to many, many fields. And as you go out, you usually go out before dawn. And you'll wander through a number of cow fields. And there won't be a single mushroom anywhere. And as you reach, you know, deep in and the sun starts to come up, you'll finally see just a mushroom right in front of you. We usually call that one the magic mushroom, because once you see that first one, you turn around and they're everywhere. And it's mind-boggling, because I have gone out there, you know, a dozen times or more, and I've yet to see a mushroom grow. But they're not there when I arrive, and they're not there when I leave.
Now, Freeman, you've never seen a fairy sitting on one, have you?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Now, I had a really weird experience where I walked to the side of a field and I was back on the other side. That happened to me once. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I walked one way and I was back where I started.
You weren't abducted, were you? Me. Were you abducted?
I don't know what happened. Honestly, I was all alone, and I was just out picking some mushrooms for my birthday.
Okay, now the mushrooms, I take it that you weren't taking them back to fry them up. You were taking them back to, what, smoke them? Or, I mean, what do you do with them?
Well, you know, we tried many different forms and varieties to try and get that noxious, horrible thing down your throat, right? So we would bring them back, and it was just like a garbage bag full of slime, right, that we had picked out of cow poo, right?
Okay.
And now, if you're going to go picking mushrooms, study mushrooms, understand that they are deadly. I mean, you know, unless you know what you're doing, you better not just go eat something. All right. Let's keep that clear. You got to know what you are doing. You got to know what a psilocybin cabenza mushroom looks like, you know? And, but if you do go pick one, you want to tap the top of the mushroom so the spores drop so that the more grow, you know? But then you'd bring this bag of slime home and you stick it in a cauldron of water and start heating it up till it just reeks your entire house of this horrific smell. Mm-hmm. And we found that Dr. Pepper actually works kind of well in kind of letting it down, but the foam doesn't go away. So the moment you pour Dr. Pepper in there, you've got a full glass of foam, a mushroom, and, you know, some cow poo parts that you got to get through before you get to the juice. But Kool-Aid also works very well, I think. That way you don't have the foam. But trying to get that stuff down. But see, what's happened now is most of the mushrooms that people are getting are produced in a laboratory setting using vermiculite, which is, you know, actually not very good for the human at all. It's kind of like breathing fiberglass or something, but vermiculite and rice, and they're growing mushrooms in people's bedrooms and stuff. You can order the spores online and grow these yourself in your own bedroom if you want. You know, they come in little syringes, and I haven't done this, but I've seen it. I don't find these at all as good as what you would find in the wild. But when you go out in the wild, then you got to deal with the fact that the farmer can and possibly will shoot you. So, you know, take that in mind.
You're out in the cow pasture, man, do you ever go cow tipping?
No, I hadn't tried that. I did get almost run over by a herd of cattle in pitch blackness. That was kind of a freaky moment. But no, I haven't tipped a cow yet, Dan.
Okay, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Y'all try that. Hey, our moderator, Jade, wants to know, what do you think about the series, a TV series, Grimm?
Grimm, you know, the brothers Grimm, they laying out these fairy tales. Honestly, I haven't watched the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. All right. And Peter from Australia, out of the live chat, during some of your mushroom trips, did you ever see reptilian creatures?
No. Honestly, I've never really hallucinated.
That's not necessarily a hallucination if you're getting into a portal situation.
Right. Yeah. No, like I say, I've never had any sort of like weird or negative. I did have an experience where a friend and I shared this vision of a light being on a tricycle with a pyramid over it. Now, there's no way that he could have been making this up. I was seeing it and he was seeing it. He was describing it to me and I'm like, oh my God, yes, I see it. So there was that. That's more like a little gremlin kind of thing or something. You know, they talk about them, the clockwork elves and DMT trips and such. I think that was kind of
somebody,
like
some woman went to South America and filmed herself taking one of these drugs. And she said that she started seeing giant spiders and stuff like that. Is that
okay? Ayahuasca is a completely different experience, and ayahuasca is a high shaman practice. It's not something to be taken lightly.
But are those creatures real?
Well, I think they are. Yeah, absolutely.
So are they around us right now? And ayahuasca is what allows you to see them?
I think that's about right. Yeah.
So do these creatures ever come into our realm without the use of ayahuasca?
Well, I bet, you know, I can't really answer that.
Freeman, is this your only life that you have, or do you believe in reincarnation?
I honestly always have. Like I say, without being raised with the religion, I had to just go with what I thought. And I always felt like I was from Pleiades. And I used to look up at the Seven Sisters, that little cluster of stars that looks like a small dipper, and feel homesick. And I always loved Pleiades, and I always thought I was from there. So it's easy for me to believe that my soul is immortal, and will, you know, I can go to whatever planet, or I will, you know, be on whatever planet I happen to end up on, or I don't know how that all works. But I do believe in planets. I believe in a cosmos. I know the flat earthers, you know, it's getting a little sketchy out there talking about extraplanetary events. But I do believe in all of that. And I do believe that, yeah, I'll just have another experience after this one.
95% of the planet believe in a godlike deity. Are they all hallucinating?
No, you know, a lot of it's mind control. I'm sorry, but if you're put in a situation where you're required to believe something to fit within your community, that's mind control. Mm-hmm. If you're not given the opening to question the authorities involved in that, that's mind control. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that just speak religion never realize that it's an outside influence that has been impressed and imprinted on them.
Yeah, I can see the religion context of it, but let's go a little bit more specific. Those that have said they have had angels in the traditional sense appear to them, or those that have seen the Mother Mary, or those that have seen Jesus, are they hallucinating?
Hard to say. Again, I have had many seemingly angelic forces in my life, but they have all been solid figures of people that have mm-hmm. come in at the most beautiful moment to show me that the life and universe is alive and, mm-hmm. and has a plan for me. Mm-hmm. And that it's so amazing that it's beyond my own comprehension that I have to give myself over to this to be able to experience it. Because if I control, I'll limit the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so I do absolutely, without a doubt, believe there are angelic and demonic forces involved in every one of our lives at every moment. And it is only ourselves that limits the interaction that we have mm-hmm. with them mm-hmm. uh-huh. by saying no, by not meeting new people, by not letting new things into your life. You are denying angels into your life, mm-hmm. Just as they did in Gomorrah, you know. Mm-hmm.
So have you yourself, do you feel like you've ever met an angelic being?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple of times. And a few that were just angelic humans, you know, just beyond being just, you know, they were amazing, amazing human beings. And of course, you know, the Bible describes these angels as simply that as well. They all wanted, you know, to have sex with them and such, you know, they were normal. Yes. And I had one experience really bizarre. I'm living with a woman who believes she was the bride of Christ. She used to carry around the Holy Grail with her at all times. I'll keep the story short. The whole story is on freemantv.com. If you want to go see it, just search bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I lived with this woman. I was kind of freaking out and it seemed a little creepy there. And at that point, I would say that there was some sort of gray energy or some sort of demonic, freaky energy that was there around me. There was a lot of Secret Service, secret agents that would come around, shake my hand and vanish or leave. Mm-hmm. But on the last day I decided I was leaving, 10 representatives of the tribes of Judah showed up at the Bride of Christ kitchen. Now realize we live in an abandoned high school and she believes it's the end of the world. She carries the Holy Grail and Daniel, who from the book of Daniel was the person who bought the school for us to live in. I was just a traveler passing through, but I ended up staying 5 months because I found it so intriguing. But then on the day I decided to leave, 10 rabbinical Jewish men show up in their full garb, and they have this strange cherubim type person with them. This, you know, golden locks, he was a Christian missionary, but he really had like angelic features. Well, when he brought me out of the room and said, you know, come with me. I need to talk to you. And he started telling me how he sensed demons all around this area. Mm-hmm. And then as we went outside, he started to really glow a golden glow. And I'm freaking out a bit. I'm getting goosebumps. And he's telling me he can rescue me. He can take me to his mission in Kansas City if I need be. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I got a friend actually coming to pick me up tomorrow. At this very moment, as we're talking about this, a massive green fireball, massive, flies over our heads soundlessly and just goes off onto the horizon. And it was such a bizarre, bizarre moment to have this little blonde-haired man. I say little just because he was so cherubim-like, you know. Had been picked up as a hitchhiker by these rabbinical Jews in their full garb. The whole story is just like, can't be real.
Wow. All right. So, but you're considering that person then an angelic being?
Well, you know, he really did glow. He really did. I don't know what, you know, if that was me or whatever, but, you know, for me, he glowed. And like I say, when I kept running into Gabriel and Raphael.
Okay. And, well, wait a minute. Now, explain that a little bit, Freeman. Were these entities or were they actual?
They were people.
Okay. So, and you call them Raphael and...
Yeah. So here I am. You know, when you're out on the road and a nomad, you're very alone. And it's kind of like being out on the open sea. And you never know where your port is going to be. And it can be very frightening if you're not kind of a loose being like I am. Mm-hmm. So, not knowing where you're going to sleep that night, not knowing what's going to happen the next moment or where you're going to get your meal. These are all very frightening thoughts for most people. I've been able to take it and make it my life. And as I do, people pop up into my existence and, you know, cater to me, or, it's what I call the friendship agenda. And it's that friendship becomes our currency. But there are certain people that pop up when I really need them. And like a character named Michael would always pop up whenever I needed some advice. And Raphael, I met him at the Gem and Mineral Show. We hung out, had a really good time, and had a slice of pizza. And then I'm out at the Rainbow Gathering years later or a couple years later in a whole nother state. And there's Raphael, and he's handing me a piece of pizza, you know. And it's just like these angelic beings just keep popping up. And the fact that they all had angels' names, there's been many people that popped up as synchronistic connections. But usually they had names like Flower or Skunk. Or hippie names like Freeman is, you know.
Cow poo. Hey, man, let me ask you. All right, so you had, you're describing angelic beings. What about demonic beings on your travels as a free spirit? Admit some of them, and what were they like?
I am just looked after, Daniel, and I don't think, you know, I have no negative experiences to share.
Well, that's good. I mean, the question asked, and there's the answer. Never met any. There are those that claim they've met those demonic type forces.
I've met them. Yeah, I've met the people that have met demonic forces.
Okay, so what do you think happens to you when you die?
Well, like I explained before, you know, just this idea that I believe I'm immortal.
Immortal. Okay, so we're not going to see you in a casket at any time.
I hope not.
I hope not either, but you're saying 50 years from now, you're still going to be walking around. You're going to be Freeman Fly doing even better videos than you do now.
Well, here's the thing, Daniel. We are the first generation that can live forever. Ra'el, the ambassador of the Elohim, who is building an embassy in Israel for the Elohim's arrival, has shown this clearly back in 2000. And all my work on transhumanists shows this, because once you reach one level, like we have with somatic cell transfer, that we can clone ourselves. Now, CERN has the technology for mind transfer technologies. And so we can now do what they did in the sixth day, and that is to clone yourself and then transfer your energy into that being and live longer. And as this progresses, that means that we are the first beings on this planet that could live forever.
Well, that's not really crazy talk, because Google made that very claim within, I think they said within 10 years or 17 years, that they would be able to transfer the information in the brain into another entity.
Yeah, Project Blue Brain has been one of the main projects in this, run by Henry Markram. And they had a big meeting at the Royal Society where they brought all the extraterrestrial ambassadors from the UN, from the Department of Defense, from NASA. So NASA's extraterrestrial ambassador is Linda Rothschild. The UN's extraterrestrial ambassador is Maslin Offman. You know, she's the head of outer space affairs. And they brought all these people together at the Royal Society. Well, in that group was also Henry Markram of the Blue Brain Project. And he is creating the technology to do that. And of course, as I mentioned, Ichkov, the Russian entrepreneur who is bidding everyone, including DARPA, to fund his Avatar program. That is, immortality is on the forefront for humanity.
I could go so far in understanding this, in that the chemical process, the biochemical processes of the brain that maybe retain memories, I can almost see perhaps those being lifted out or copied and pasted into another form. But that is in the biochemical sense. But what about the essence of the human? Is there a spirit, and can that be transferred? Or do you think there isn't such a thing as the internal essence of a person, the invisible self, and it's all bioelectrical, memories and emotions that can be transferred? But the essence, is there an essence?
I interviewed Aurelian to see what they thought about that very question, because they are the ones who are really pushing this human cloning, mind transfer stuff. And they don't believe there is a soul. They just believe it's all electrical energy that can be transferred over. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I can feel that I have a soul. I can feel this connection. It's got to be far more than just me being some sort of biological machine. So when you start to look at things like Battlestar Galactica, which actually is very encoded symbolically in this whole story and was written by Mormons, as the creation myth for Mormonism and how mankind came to be genetically modified on planet Earth by these beings, they tell the story in the pre-story called Caprica of how they get the mind transfer to actually work. And what they said that was missing was the idea of taking in all of their Google searches and all the movies that they had watched and all the tweets that they had read or shared, and incorporating those into the mind of the computer to really fully form this alter personality that would be you. Hard to say what's really going on with that. When you look to cloning itself, you realize that there is a life spark that the mother gives to the cell that makes it start to divide. When you're dealing with cloning, you have an electrical spark, perhaps even a Luciferian spark, that ignites the cell to make it think it's alive. So there is a huge difference between the life spark that creates a normally naturally birthed person. Now, they have also created now artificial wombs. And then the electric spark, the use of electricity to spark that clone to life, is, you know, right at the very beginning of life, is that there's a dramatic difference between the clone and the naturally born.
In the movie The Missing, that I'm not sure if you're familiar with that movie. It's an older movie now. But these children disappear, and it's about aliens that were conducting an experiment with the U.S. government. And they wanted to know what the connection was between a mother and a child. And this one woman couldn't break it. They couldn't find out what that connection was. In other words, it seemed to be something more than electrical chemical bond. And they were they couldn't understand it. So is it that there is this spiritual part of the body? And if so, where does it come from?
Yeah, I'm not enough of a mystic to answer that one, Daniel.
If I gave you some mushrooms, could you help me?
Yeah, probably not. I would know it at the time, but the moment I tried to tell you, it would never come out in words. You know, that's the way these things are.
Well, you said earlier, though, you consider yourself an eternal being, though. Doesn't that mean you're suggesting you have a spirit, and that spirit may be the spark of the creator, maybe?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I believe we're all, you know, bonded in one way or another. Genetic memory even kind of shows this. So there's all that to take in.
Freeman, as we get ready to close the show, where do you see humanity going in the future?
Oh, chaos, Daniel. Unfortunately, it's going to be chaos.
Oh, boy. Well, there's not much hope right there.
No. The hope lies in our reactions to it. So when I said on 9/11 or pre-9/11, don't freak out, this is all for your reaction, I firmly believe that we are the buffer for this situation, and that it is not our job to go fight our enemy, but to nurture a new existence into existence, to nurture a new way of life into existence. And so so many people are focused on fighting and destroying and you know, ending the Illuminati or the elite and all of that, when honestly the true path lies between the friendship agenda and the ability to us to start bonding together as you know, just beings on this planet. So I say don't fight your enemy, love your neighbor, and it'll all straighten itself out.
well, there wasn't a lot of fighting over there in Belgium, and they weren't very neighborly. I mean, are you sure you want to let people like that exist with you? You think if the Belgian bombers had a few more hugs, that they would have? They would have been.
I am not opposed to standing up for my own sovereignty, without a doubt. No, if you come in and interfere with my sovereignty, I will stand guard. Yeah, I have no problem removing anybody, and I do believe that neighborhoods should be standing out there, if necessary, you know, standing together, but not as a mob, you know, not as. But if you're being attacked, yeah, you got to fight back without a doubt. I'm not opposed to that at all.
Okay, all right, Freeman Flies. We're at the end of the broadcast. Any final words or statements? Any topic that you came prepared to address? We didn't, or however you'd like to end it.
Well, just remember, folks. You know it. Life is happening every single day, and if you leave yourself in a cycle of knowing everything that's going to happen to you every moment of the day, then no miracles are going to find their way into your door. You have to get out there and meet people. This is critical for us at this time. If we intend to get through this, you must go out and start making as many friends as you can. That's the best preparation you can do for what's coming, and it is the only thing that's really going to change the course of humanity if we all start to realize that we're so much alike in every way, shape, and form, no matter what creed, religion, race, any of that doesn't matter. We all are humans together. So get out there and meet people. That's so important. This is the one message I would say after studying all of this stuff, that this is the true course that we should take.
Okay. All right, Freeman Fly, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Oh, of course, Daniel. It's always a pleasure.
All right. I appreciate you coming on the show. And you won't commit suicide.
Never.
Never, no. Because you're full of love, and the greatest gift that we have is love. So we're going to love our neighbor, and we're going to say good evening to you, Mr. Freeman Fly.
Thank you very much, sir. Loving you right back.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That was Freeman Fly on the Edge Television broadcast. Hope everybody appreciated the show. I don't know if our software servers caught the broadcast or deleted it. I'm not sure. I'll have to find out. For those of you, I just asked if it was going to restream. At least we got a half hour of it. And I don't know if our other software captured it either because of the power outage. So don't know. But anyway, next week we're going to have with us Gary Wayne. He's going to be talking about the Genesis 6 conspiracy. And if you don't know what that is, you just have to stay tuned next week to see that show. 2 weeks, Frank Fraschino is going to be talking about the Flatwood Monster. 3 weeks, Gil Brashard is going to be talking about Planet 7X. Kind of like my hat here. It's like 7X is in there. And then we're going to have Dave Hodges talking about political anarchy on the 23rd. Freeman Fly was talking about chaos. Well, there is a candidate that seems to be causing some chaos. So we'll find out from Dave Hodges' point of view at April 23rd. I'm also going to try to get the Diamond and Silk Girls back onto the program as well. April 30th, James Perloff talking about global destruction. If we haven't had a guest on the program you'd like to see, let me know here at edgeam@yahoo.com or any kind of link there. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, become a YouTube subscriber to our channel, or on our TuneIn Radio programming as well. Well, thanks everyone for the great questions and interactions. Love everybody in the chat, everybody viewing the program. Daniel Ott for the Edge. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for The Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.